Nedarim, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, 2:1. Now the Mishnah turns attention to formulations of Nedarim which are not effective. And the basis for essentially all of this Mishnah is the Pasuk when it says, Ish ki yidur neder l'Hashem, when a person vows a vow to Hashem, and that yidur neder, vows a vow, because that seems superfluous, Chazal darshan, ad sheyadur b'davar ha-nedur, it's not effective unless a person makes a neder equating that which he wants to forbid, we'll call that the pen or the apple, to something which is already forbidden by virtue of a previous declaration. The iser, I say, your pen or your apple is forbidden to me like a korban. The korban's forbidden because someone declared it to be such, and that would be effective. But if I say your pen or your apple, I can't eat your apple, it's forbidden to me like I can't eat pork chops, that would not be effective because pork chops are forbidden not because someone declared them to be such, but rather because the Torah said no pork chops. And that's exactly what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says inside, Ve'elu mutarim, the following attempts at effecting a neder are not effective, and therefore the thing which you tried to forbid, when I said, you know, your apple's forbidden to me like fill in the blank, the apple remains permitted, and there's no need even to go to a chacham or a bezdin to do matar neder, even though I tried to effect a neder to make your apple forbidden to me. No, it doesn't work, and the apple remains permitted. For example, chulin sha'ochalach. If I say, that of yours of which I eat is like chulin to me, your apple is like chulin to me, so then that certainly is not effective in making the apple forbidden, the apple remains permitted, and not much of a chiddush over there, we're just sort of setting the baseline to say that even though a person's talking as if he's making the darim, nothing has to happen at all. And therefore, similarly, if I say, your apple is forbidden to me kibsar chazir, like, literally means like the meat of a pig, meaning like pork. So, again, that's not effective because what makes pork forbidden is the Shem said no non-kosher animals, and pork is an example of any unkosher meat, and that's not a davar hanador. The pork didn't become forbidden because someone said it's forbidden, rather the Torah said it. Similarly, kavoda zara. If I say your apple's forbidden to me like avodah zarah, not effective. Now, avodah zarah is a bit of a chiddush here, as much as for something to become forbidden as an avodah zarah, as an idol, so therefore it had to be either an action or some sort of declaration had to occur. In other words, a Barbie doll is not asr bahana because it's not an idol; it's just a figurine. If I say this Barbie is my God, so now I've elevated the doll to being an idol, at which point it becomes Asr Bahana. And the Torah forbids any benefit now from that Barbie doll because it's been promoted to being an idol. But it only became an idol because I said it was. The truth is, you also could act that way if a person bows down to the Barbie doll or brings an offering to the Barbie doll, also promotes it to being an idol. The point is, even though the Barbie doll might have become a Barbie doll idol and forbidden for any benefit by virtue of someone declaring it to be such, still, that's not significant. It doesn't matter in this context because when a person says the Barbie doll is an idol, while it's true the Barbie doll then becomes Asr Bahana, the declaration to make it into an idol wasn't about effecting Isser. That was something else. That had come along. It was effecting the status of this figurine to become an idol. So that's not going to be enough to make it like a Davar Hanador. Similarly, if I say Ka'oros Levuvin, Oros levuvin are hides of an animal that had been ripped open while the animal was alive to access the animal's heart. So this is like a way that they did some idolatrous practices. They would sacrifice like the actual heart of the animal to their idol. They cut the animal open and like reach and grab, pull out the heart, like the Aztecs used to do. So the point is that once one does that, it turns the sacrificial animal into a sacrifice that was offered to an idol, and forevermore becomes forbidden Bahana. So again, the reason why that this animal hide is forbidden is because it was part and parcel of this animal which was offered as a sacrifice, and of course even if just the heart itself was offered, it's like analogous to like, you know, shech the animal and offering its blood. The rest of the carcass still is part of the sacrifice and forbidden. It was offered to an idol, and so too over here. The difference between an offering brought to an idol and the idol itself, is that an idol actually can be deconsecrated. If a non-Jew declares a Barbie doll to be an idol, they can later on change their mind and say, no, it's not a Barbie doll, that's just a Barbie doll. They can do an act which would show that it's not an idol anymore. You know, I don't know, clip off its head or something. The point is, it can be demoted and degraded back to being not an idol, just a figurine, whereas the offering, like, to an idol is always going to remain forbidden, and that would include the hide, which was part of the animal before it had its hide cut open and the heart taken out. Kinevelos, katrefos, kashkatzim, karamasim. If a person says, your apple's forbidden to me, like any of those kind of things, nevelos are carcasses of animals that didn't get shechita, like a dead cow didn't get shechita, which is, of course, usher from the Torah. Trefos is an animal which is not kosher because it has some mortal wound, it will die within 12 months, perforated lungs or something like that, again, not kosher. Or shkatzim, shkatzim are little creepy crawly animals that are not kosher, like a, I don't know, like a toad and a owl and a whatever, a catfish, stuff like that. Those are shkatzim. Ramasim are other creepy crawlies that appear like kind of like worms and maggots in decaying, you know, rotting materials. So all those things the Torah prohibits, but it's the Torah that's prohibiting it. It's not a davar hanador, and therefore, if a person says your apple's forbidden like one of those things, not effective. Kechalas aron uktrumaso. If a person says, if I say your apple's forbidden to me like chala or like truma, meaning chala meaning the hafrashas chala, the separation that's taken from dough to give to a kohen, or truma, the separation that's taken from the grain or the oil or the wine to give to a kohen. So that separation, that gift is called truma, or in the case of the dough, chala. And the Torah prohibits those, of course. If you're not a kohen, you can't eat them, under penalty of death, the hands of heaven, that's pretty severe. But if I say my apple's forbidden like chala or like truma, that's not effective. Now there's a chiddush here, a big chiddush here, which is that for something to become chala or to become truma, it actually requires a verbal declaration called kriyas shem, declaring its name. So you might recall from Maseches Trumos, etc., if you learn those Maseches, or even if you see someone do it, or you've done it yourself, you know, you make a batch of dough to make your bread for Shabbos. So if the recipe's got enough flour inside of it, then you'll separate a piece of the dough and you'll make a bracha, hafreshes chala mina isa, and then you'll actually say harei zu chala. You declare that piece of dough to be chala, or you declare a portion of the truma to be truma. So you need a kriya shem, you need a verbal declaration, and that's what makes the thing usser. So that sounds quite similar to Davar Hanador, where you're creating Isser by declaration, and therefore you might think it would work to say the apple is forbidden like Chala or like Truma, but it doesn't. Because again, kind of like what I had said before regarding the idol, when you say Harezu Chala, you're not actually intending to make it forbidden. To the contrary, you're trying to make the dough permitted, and this, the rest of the dough, the batch of dough, and this piece of dough you separated, the Chala, that's going to a Kohen as well. You're not intending to make it Usser to anybody. It happens to be Usser, and by virtue of the fact that it's got those restrictions in the Torah, as Chala or as Truma, but you're not making it into Isser. And the difference really is that when it comes to separating Chala or Truma, that's something that's obligatory by the Torah. It's not an optional thing. You're not like opting to give a gift that makes me Usser. So it's not the same thing. And therefore, saying your apple is like Chala or Truma to make an Usser would not be effective. The apple remains permitted. The actual words of the Mishnah, Kechalas Aron Uchtrumaso, this is just referring to Aron HaKohen, who was the first Kohen, so we're sort of naming after him. Chalas Aron, meaning a separation of Chala for the Kohanim, like Aron, who's the prototypical Kohen. And same goes Trumaso, the Truma, the gift that's Truma Gedola, Trumas Meister, etc., that's given to the Kohen. All those things, Mutter. All those things are not effective, meaning ones they're unbound, and one could still eat the apple, in the case I gave as an example. Now, if you read the Mishnah, read the sentence in one, you know, one breath instead of breaking it up as I did over, you know, 9 minutes, so then you would see this word mutter seems to be superfluous, because the Mishnah starts out by saying elu mutarim, the following are mutter, then it gives example, mutter. So that seems, mutter seems to be unnecessary, redundant, but really it's coming to differentiate between the next case, because the next case we're about to have, really midoraisa also should be mutter, but we're going to say midrabban it's usser, and one needs to go to a chacham. So while those things are not effective and no chacham required, the following case, haomer leishto, if one attempts to forbid his wife from him by saying hareat alai keima, you are forbidden to me like my mother, just as I can't sleep with the mother, I can't sleep with you, an attempt to make her like an isser nether by doing hatfasa to his mother. So even though midoraisa, that's not going to work because the isser of sleeping with one's mother is not is like eating pork chops. It's based on psukim. It's not based on dar and ador. Even so, poschen lo pesach makom acher, we still force them to go to a chacham, an expert in nadarim, or to a bezin of three, and they can't even use charata. That's a technical issue about how they relieve him of that vow, release him of that vow. Simply just saying he regrets making the vow is not enough. It has to be, you have to find a pesach. Pesach means that we find some consequence of the vow that we didn't consider at the time, he didn't consider at the time, to annul the vow. And the reason why we do that, specifically in this case of one taking a vow against his wife, is shelo yakil rosho lakach. So he shouldn't be literally something like lightheaded in this matter, but the point is he shouldn't be cavalier and flippant about forbidding his wife to him. That's no joke. You could ruin a marriage, ruin a life like that, and therefore, even though it shouldn't be binding midoraisa, we're afraid that next time he'll employ a formulation which would be effective. Like if he says, you are forbidden to me, we'll see in the Mishnah later on. If we say certain things, you know, if he forbids his wife in an effective way, then he could be stuck. And that being the case, we make him go through this whole rigmarole of doing Hataras Nadarim, so I realize this is no joke. Now, the next sentence of the Mishnah is like a new Mishnah. In fact, in the Gemara, it's like a whole new Mishnah altogether. If a person says, Konam She'eni Yashen, a person says, literally means, the words are translated, Konam is, we've seen already, is like a kinui for korban, an offering, She'eni Yashen, that I shall not sleep. So the point is a person saying, sleeping is forbidden to me like a korban. Or similarly, if he says, She'eni Medaber, I shall not speak. So speaking is forbidden to me like a korban. Or She'eni Mahalech, I shall not walk. So walking is forbidden to me like a korban. So all those cases, they are going to be, on a derais level, not effective. And the reason is because, remember, we said for a neder to work, it has to be on the chefetz, it has to be on an object, it has to be something which has a davar sheshbo mamash, and with substance. And when it comes to sleeping, or speaking, or walking, those are actions, they don't have a substance to them, and therefore neder should not be binding. But while it's not binding midoraisa, it is binding midorabanan, as we'll see in a moment. And therefore he would need to, you know, deal with the consequences of that, rabbinically being bound. Ha'omer le'ishto, a similar case, if a person says to his wife, Konam she'eni misham sheikh, if a person says, the benefit that I enjoy from sleeping with you is forbidden to me like a korban. So, again, well, that's not on a thing with substance, but it's enough to say that rabbinically it should be forbidden, which would be binding. And therefore, in all those cases, harei ze b'lo yachel dvaro, in all these cases, if one would, after making such a vow, if one would sleep or speak or walk or sleep with his wife, he'd be over the iser derabanan, dafka derabanan, of extension of the iser of b'lo yachel dvaro, of not profaning what one says. Now, the wife issue is a little more complicated, and the issue is as follows. He has to formulate it, as I said. If he would say, like, for example, my body is forbidden to you, so while that you think sounds better, in as much as his body is a davar sheish b'mamash, it has a thing, so he could forbid that, you think, to her, that actually would not be effective at all, because she already, a wife already has a shibud on her husband's body. He committed to her in marriage to be her husband, therefore he has obligations to her, and she has a pre-existing claim on his body, so therefore she can't now, he can't like try to undo that. Will not be effective. Similarly, if a person even takes a shvua, and that will become the topic of the last sentence of our Mishnah here, which is like almost like a new Mishnah again, in the Gemara again, it's a new Mishnah. If a person says something like a shvua, I swear, she'eni yashin, that I'm not going to sleep, or I swear, she'eni medaber, that I'm not going to speak, or she'eni mahalech, or that I'm not going to walk, asur, that is binding. Now, the reason why it's binding, midoraisa, is because unlike a neder, a shvua goes on the person, not on an object, on the gavra, not the chifetz. And the gavra, the person, he can forbid, like, verbs, not doing stuff. So if I say, I swear I shall not sleep, or talk, or walk, that is binding midoraisa, unlike the previous case, which is durabanan. Now here, well, the Mishnah says, in those three cases, asur, that he's bound, and he cannot do those things, can't sleep or walk or eat. It doesn't mention that fourth case about the wife. Because if a person would take a shvua and say, I take a shvuah not to sleep with you, that would not be binding, because a person can't take a shvuah against that which already he's pre-committed to. He already has an existing commitment, and a Torah binding commitment. So since he already committed to be married to his wife, and he has obligations to her, he can't take a shvuah, an oath, and relieve himself or abrogate those pre-existing commitments. So let me just give a different example to make sure this is clear. If I say, I take a shvuah that I will not put on tefillin today, so that shvuah is not binding, because God already said back at Har Sinai, yes, you're putting on tefillin today, so my shvuah can't be effective. If I say I take a neder that I will not get benefit from my tefillin, now I can't put on my tefillin today, but of course I could borrow your tefillin and put them on and still do the mitzvah, which I will have to do. If I took a ridiculous neder and said, every pair of tefillin in the world is forbidden to me, like a korban, so then I've painted myself into a corner, even though God said I have to put on tefillin, but there's no particular tefillin I can put on because they're all forbidden to me, and therefore I can't do the mitzvah. It's like chopping off my arm or something. I'm just foolishly making it so I can't do the mitzvah. So that's what's happening in our Mishnah before with the wife. If I would say, I take a shvuah, I'm not sleeping with my wife, that's not binding. If I'd say, I take a neder, my body's forbidden to my wife, that then it still would not be binding because she has a shibud, she has a pre-existing claim on my body because I took those commitments to her when I got married to her. But if I say, the benefit that I get from sleeping with my wife is forbidden to me, at least rabbinically, since rabbinically a neder on a davar shein bo mamash, something without substance, is binding. So now I've painted myself into a corner where foolishly there's no way for me to sleep with my wife anymore because I have an existing neder rabbinically.